What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
Yeah, what it is, people. It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. This one is special to me. I always say they special, but this is really, really, really special because this is one half of somebody, my favorite group ever. And I ain't saying that because he's sitting there. I told him that shit before the camera come on. And I say that on Twitter, Instagram, all that. I got the legend next to me. Let him know who you are. I'm going to be quiet.
What up, D? No, you got to announce me. This is your interview.
Now, who I don't know who I'm interviewing today.
You okay, well, Onassis, I know. Listen.
Who are you today?
How you know Eric Onassis? You're a hip hop head for real. That's Eric Sermon, but okay. You know, E Double was MC Grand Royal, was the Bandit.
Funk Lord.
Sermon, Funk Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man.
I got like seven. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
right. That's what
you're
I'm
right.
saying.
What up, people?
It's Eric Sermon today. Eric Sermon.
This is not my first Doggy interview. Yeah. We did like, he has one exclusive that nobody never seen
Facts.
Before. And he did one with me and Red Cafe a long time ago.
Yes.
So if he's acting brand new, then he's just being...
My appearance changed a little bit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They know that.
Stop being corporate.
Yeah.
Fix it!
No. Ain't no corporate shit. This shit is street.
Okay, yeah.
So, yo, I'm here with you, man. You're back. You're on camera. What does it feel like to be on camera more?
Yeah, my thing was the fact that, I told you off camera, that my peoples was very adamant about me being up front. They used to always be like, you know... Eric, out of sight, out of mind. But that was just me. My whole nostalgia of not doing it on purpose was everybody who know me know I was humble, I was nonchalant, and that light wasn't me. Now, they know me for them women. You know, that was, again, as far as me being out there wasn't me. And then when the new era started coming up and technology, I ain't going to be behind,
knowing
that I did take off 11 years. I took off from 2002. Mm. I think React was my last situation. And then again, 2015, my boy came by and woke me up. But I was raising my kids then, the whole nine, whatever, watching the game go. And I figured that at this moment, that what we living in, and now, again, you see where you're going. You cut a big deal for content. I'm just telling people on the stream because he told me behind the camera. My bad. Cut! But as far as now the new content, as far as having content, now as far as streaming, everybody's on the same. It's on the same playing ground.
Yes, yes.
And now you're on my turf because now it's like you got to compete against good music. I don't have to compete against your paying money for radio or you having a team. No, if your shit is whack, you in trouble.
Got you. So when you came back in 2015, was that the song with Jared Benton or something like that?
It was like a mixtape album I did for EMI, and I had Jared Benton in 2010.
Got you.
2009 in Atlanta.
Well,
you know, if y'all just seeing him now, but you know,
it was a record you put out that was
right. That's
yeah.
I got a call from Clark Kent that day like Eric, that new guy with you and him. So that was my emergence of to test the waters of, and I don't know why I did that though too. That I let the people get to you about the age and the, you know how people, you know how we get mixed up.
Somebody put
that in our ear, retirement, all that type of stuff. Garbage.
Yeah.
I was getting test the waters, but seeing what was it like, and all that I saw, saved my life was J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar.
Got you.
And then I heard Joey Badass before that. Then the Flatbush Zombies, and then all this other underground hip hop that I didn't know about that was coming out. And I heard drums and I heard samples. I'm like, holy shit, yo! Who's doing this?
My lane.
You know,
this
is my lane.
So
I was happy about that.
So you come back out. When is it time for you though? Because you're not a new jack. You've been around vinyl and tapes and shit like that, and us putting the fucking the tape or the cotton
the
top
tissue
of the tissue or type
to record
of shit.
Mr. Magic. Red. Yes.
You go that far back in music. When is it time for you? Like, because I'm pretty sure you're creating all the time.
Yeah.
But when is it time to say, all right, this cake is ready. I want y'all to taste a piece of this cake.
See, I'm glad you asked that because now everybody can see this thing too. I never know when it's time. Mm-hmm. I only go on what, you know, again, I can't pronounce it. I mean, describe whatever the universe is doing at the time. I know it sounds crazy though, but whatever the time is, I would know. I never set the time of it. I never was a person who was like, yo, the labels did, okay, we're coming out in April, May, you know, whatever. If I feel that it's good, then I'll know. But right now, I just feel that at this particular time, the only ones that could put out albums, no disrespect, are the ones who got names like us who've been there.
Facts.
Anybody else, they got to drop singles. Nobody want to hear it. But if anybody from the era drop an album, they're going to appreciate it because we have fans for that, for material like that.
Yeah.
So people always ask me, and I don't care about the climate because I put my time in to drop whatever, you know, and drop whenever I want to drop it.
Yeah.
Again, that's all I can say. I don't know when it's time, but I do have a time for Vernia. This one is the first week of March. I don't know what date, but first week of March.
Vernia, let's get into the title. Why that title?
Yeah, my grandmother was one of my best friends, mm-hmm. and 2 years ago she passed away. And she's a Sagittarius like me.
Uh-huh.
You know, she was always fly, had gold jewelry on, chains, whatever. I wasn't as flashy as she was, but my grandmother lived her life like to the fullest. Like mm-hmm. her and her crew, she had a crew called the Golden Girls, and they went to trips. They did everything
bust
together.
And, shit. That's
and I'm like, yeah. Grandma, if one of y'all fall, who picking one of y'all up? Like, you know, if something happens to y'all, like who? Because it was all, you know, older women, late 70s, 80s. I'm mm-hmm. like, but they went everywhere. And they had the, again, and my grandma used to always give me the saying and tips and whole nine about women and about life and about situations. So I got a lot from her. She's, when I was down at one point mm-hmm. in the mid-90s, she was like, don't worry about that. Just keep working. And when your time comes, you be ready. Mm. So that was something I always kept. And with them words, it didn't matter because I'm going to always be ready. So mm-hmm. just in case the time, because you don't know what time it could be. It could be a 5-year, 1-year, 10-year, 20-year period. It's on you if you believe still that you can still do this.
Yeah.
You've been in here for a long time.
Yes,
you could have easily said this thing is over for me. Yeah, no. Yeah. Life in the world is evolving.
But people probably will wonder, though, and I want you to give clarity on this because a young rapper might be going through this, and he only been in the game 6 months. But all the success you've had, the jewelry, the cars, the women, the gold, the platinum, the travel, the money, the Rolex when you were 17, I'll never forget you said that.
They all gone.
that shit is crazy. Why would you ever be down? Somebody probably be like, I got, because you know the kids think, mm-hmm. yo, I got the watches, mm-hmm. you know, they pull out all their money. Mm-hmm. Why would you ever be down?
This right here is a pet peeve of mine of, like you saying too, imagine you did a whole series and you put your heart into it
mm-hmm.
and then like, then nobody's checking me out?
Yeah.
Nobody didn't watch my series. Then I had Usher. Everybody was on here. I did the it was crazy. You know, it was in 4K. It was, you know, nobody watched it.
Yeah.
And you spent mad money, but you spent mostly your
blood,
time
sweat
on
and
it.
Tears, yeah.
So
you can't get your time.
Back then, I used to be like, with Def Jam, I didn't feel that they did enough promotion. And Redman said it too. And one of his last records before he left, before Def Jam had got in like 97, whatever. He was like, I'm going to show Def Jam how to promote an artist. Like, just a little short line. But not looking at Def Jam, they were so big. But I can't come from having 2 number one albums already with EPMD
mm-hmm.
and come here and do the same thing. I can't be over here and have a number one record or have them, then something's not looking right. You know, my mother used to always say too, yo, why you put so much trust in these people? Because they told me they're going to do it.
I never did
something for myself. I never came behind myself and did extra like people did before mm-hmm. we had. So we didn't have a Dame Dash or Suge Knight or Andre Harrell or Puffy having Clive Davis.
Got you.
It was just us.
Yeah.
We got popular off the music. No help.
Prior to Def Jam, too. Y'all came
with
Def Jam already.
I said we came already hot.
Yeah.
I already came with 2 number one albums.
Yeah.
So you giving me number one again, which is the third one with number one, it didn't do anything extra, the sales didn't go up. Something don't match.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the part when I say that, when you say you can have it all but not be happy. My happiness was the fact that nobody promoted, so nobody heard it. Mm. So it just went down the line as, you know, oh, yeah, that's something that came. And meanwhile, if I play it or you hear people saying, yo, damn, you could have competed with that.
Damn,
you didn't do nothing different that they didn't do. You know, and that's what got me, would be like, dang, you know, I have it all, but what happened?
You know, was it a time where you quit?
I stopped in 2002. I took
like 11 completely,
years off.
Like,
I just stopped everything.
When I say quit, I mean you're not even going to the studio.
I figured I had enough money in my head, crazy. I don't know what I thought was 50 and Puffy. I was nowhere near them. But I figured I had enough money.
Uh-huh.
So you living, 11 years passed by. People can say, you know, how you live for 11 years? You know, whatever, you know. I produced everything that was rocking in the 90s and in the 80s and the early 2000s. I was on everything, as you can tell, you know, whatever. It was, Rockwell said it was over 74 million albums that were sold, and I was a part of it.
Wow.
So that means whatever artist came, I was on it. And besides my own crew, besides having Red and Meth 2, you know, whatever group came out, I was on it.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, soundtracks, albums, I was on everything. So me owning my own publishing, I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and sit. You know how people know what publishing is. These kids don't really know what publishing
is
because they got 360.
Yeah,
they gave
it away.
But this is like having the pension of you living your whole life.
401k of rap.
Yeah, if you want to really live and you own it. You can. That's how I live.
People
be like, yo, how do you live? This is how I live because I did so much work as a youngin', I was able to. So that's when I said I had really had just quit. And I was doing shows here and there if they made sense. Like it was Rock the Bells was out.
Uh-huh.
So EPMD would go out and do what, 4 shows or be another couple of shows here. But that wasn't paying no bills, of course.
Got you.
But I had quit from 2004 to about 2015.
So you quit, you walk away.
But not the retirement.
No, not the retirement.
Yeah,
you just fell back.
Yeah,
you
fell back. Yeah, the game had changed. Don't forget, I'm from.
Yeah.
Not from Georgia, but I was there in 92.
Oh, no, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to get into that.
David Bannon just called
gonna,
me.
Listen, we're going to get into the Georgia thing. Trust me.
Okay, I got you.
So when you walk away, you don't go make a beat. You don't listen for samples. The digging, none of that.
Oh no, I did all of it.
Okay.
It was so crazy because my sister would just be like, my brother always did exercise. I rhymed. I always, you know, here and there picked up beats. That's why Rockwell, when he hear me now, I'd be like, Eric, I've been here with you for a year. I haven't heard nothing twice unless I ask you to play it.
Mm.
That's how much production I have.
Mm.
And of course, if you know about sampling though, too, of course, because you're a beat maker.
Mm-hmm.
You before your time anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And everything is good.
It be shit
nothing's
that you,
old.
Yeah, and it be shit that you be like, I get to it. And then you hear a nigga come out. You're like, oh, I had that
exactly,
record. I should have
exactly.
fucked with it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Everything is good.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel now. My cousin just asked me the other day, yo, you going to make a record for my, because he got an artist, Carabella, and we're going to do, I was like, I'm not making no beats.
I got
you
like Prince with
records.
The Vault.
Exactly.
So, so in 2015, What came over you?
It was an artist that this kid, I can mention his name because he's an asshole. he brought this kid to me.
Uh-huh.
And this kid was a dope singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing BBD's first single, that record Run.
Oh,
I wrote that with
that
kid.
Wow.
And so it made me go back to Dave Hollister, Alfonso Hunter. You know how much I love R&B too, as you could tell, because I did so much R&B as I
Can't
did rap.
You See Remix? Fire.
Why you said
fire.
That?
Yo, that's my shit.
Oh, man. But all this R&B of me, D'Angelo, Chico DeBarge, Mary, Jodeci, you know, Angie Stone to, you know, it was,
all that shit.
I was from Guy to Blackstreet. Everything that was moving at the time, I was doing just as much rap, but again, we didn't have social media like this.
Nobody didn't know that.
Brownstone, you know, when I heard If You Love Me,
that's your bass line.
Was done by, it's Case Lowe's Spellbound, the
that's
whole
That's what
loop.
I'm saying. But the doom, 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 that's your bass line.
But the whole loop is Spellbound.
Wow.
From K Solo. Boom, boom, boom. If you, it's the whole bottom part. All I did was just loop spell back.
Oh. Doom, doom,
boom, boom. You can hear it now in your head.
Gotcha, yeah, yeah.
But when Tory Lanez took it, I was like, oh, that's. That's a check.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Fuck it, right? Yeah, no. So something came over you. You like, I'm back in. I went Nickelback and sold in the
park.
Well,
it wasn't even that type of excitement. Vibe. Yeah, okay. It was just like again, I was excited about doing that.
Gotcha.
And then if I start meeting all the new people that you see around me now.
Gotcha.
As far as saying, you know, let's
get it.
Let's go get a run because they had the know-how. I knew how to make the music and know how to run a label
and run
the business. And then once Rockwilder called and he was saying, yo, E, what's up? I said, yo, come to Long Island. I got a spot for you.
Got you.
You know, he moved into one of my houses. And then after that, he came. And then I went to go find Ty Fife.
Got you.
Because he was in Jersey, whatever, that Manhattan. I'm like, Ty, forget about all that you doing over there. Come here. And we let him build a room. We ain't nobody touching one of my structures.
I let him touch
the structure.
Got you.
You know,
got
knock
you.
A wall down.
He's in the compound.
I let him do whatever he wanted to do. So I went after Ty Fife. Even though I know that I wanted Bink Dog to be here too, but it was Virginia. But Bink is still coming. And Focus, that's with Dre right now.
I got an interview with Focus.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever I Focus want to work.
Focus. Right. Everybody you name, Bink. What I like about Bink, this motherfucker percussion.
No, percussion.
It's crazy. Yeah. People don't get that.
No, phenomenal.
Only real beat makers know that. And
1-9, they just say 1-900, whatever.
Yeah.
And you hear the, you know, the percussion.
Even the Rulers, but the Rulers Back, Jay-Z is one of my favorite records. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I think that's a producer's beat.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but
percussion,
his percussion is just
his
clean.
Drum,
it's
his
just
drum
so
is clean.
Clean. Yeah, Bink and well, I was gonna say
so, about Focus, you're saying.
No, Focus is his father played motherfucking Good Times bass line.
No, he didn't.
You ain't know that?
No.
Go Focus. His father's the one who played Good Times bass line. You ain't know that?
You know how used that is? Because all the time,
that's his father.
We know about Nile
Rodgers. What's the person's name who did the bass line? Look it up. Okay. That's his father.
Right.
He's a junior.
Wow. No, because we talk about Nile Rodgers all the time.
Yeah, now his father.
The guitar part,
his father played.
The
doom. Wow. Yeah, the bass line.
Wow.
His father played that bass line. Wow. Think Focus is a bass player.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? See, you learn something new every time.
I didn't know that. That's huge.
Yeah, his father played Good Times. But I'm like, yo, your father played that? You know what I'm saying?
One of the biggest records in the world.
One of the first hip-hop records.
Yeah.
Is Rapper's Delight. Rapper's That's Light. Really Good Times. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And y'all did it over time.
Oh, yeah. I went platinum for that, too.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's crazy.
The bright sides, when you think about your career, what was your defining moment when you was like, I'm Eric Sermon.
Well, the defined moment is now, knowing that 30 years in the game is 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That is ill.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a part where, and I feel like at that, you know, me reaching the half a century, woo, can't believe I said that.
Knock on wood.
To be able to say, I feel iller than ever as far as rhyme-wise, production, of course, is going to be Eric Sermon, but the fact that going into a new, and then, like I said, Doggy, not because you're here, you are so important because nobody would know unless we had media and we had somebody to say, hey, check this out. I'm going to show you what Homeboy is doing.
Because
nobody would know anything. It would be us doing what we're doing, but to have somebody
hip-hop
let the
media
world know.
Too.
Yeah,
hip-hop
that's true.
Media is important.
Somebody
because,
who cares.
Yeah, and
knows.
And somebody
who knows
the culture.
Yeah, who knows.
And also, you did, like, I wanted to ask you, Shaq.
Yeah.
This is a dude that's playing on the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
The most touted basketball player. And he comes into the league and then he wants to rap. He raps with the Foo Sinkins, but then he's with you.
Right.
And you doing all his music. What was that like to produce for a basketball player?
Well, he got turned down by Premier.
DJ Premier?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's and Premier probably
did it. Again,
yeah,
nobody really knew. You know, you didn't know that he was going to be something to really do or take seriously because you heard him with the Fruits Niggas.
Yes, yeah.
People was like, you know, whatever, wasn't taking it as, even though it was you know, he can rhyme.
Yeah.
I didn't care about it. As long as he can rhyme, it didn't matter to me. But he came to Long Island, and he met me first before we even went to Orlando.
Mm.
Came to Long Island, and he asked me up front, do I want to do it?
Mm.
So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll make it happen for you. So he flew us to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Dope ass studio though, Diamond.
I can imagine.
I mean, dope studio. We had a chef every day cooking the whole nine. So I just was in there just writing rhymes for a certain record, like Shoot Past Slam was one of them, whatever. You want me to shoot it? I forgot the other ones.
And Outstanding.
But that was the main one. I was going to get to that. Yeah. So the Outstanding record was classic funk by me. That was more of a Eric Sermon sounding record. And that's what he liked the most about it. Then he was able to tell his story. So, but again, at the end of the day, after that, then the next one, he was able to get Biggie.
Yes.
And get people to believe in it and believe in him.
Yes, as an artist.
As an artist.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy because, you know, as you know, Shaq is on Burning Year 2.
Okay.
I just had talked to him about a month ago and just asked him, you want to rhyme?
Yeah.
Because I know how much he like rhyming.
You know what I mean?
And I haven't talked to him in a while because he would hit me random at night, doggy. Like at 3 a.m, 2 a.m, he'd be in somewhere in Hawaii. He'd be over here somewhere in India.
Are you one of them people like me that's always up when the phone ring?
Not always up.
Okay, whenever my phone ring, I'm always up.
But I'm like, why is he hit? He was Shaq. hit me random.
Yeah.
And then he'd have a picture and a video of him rocking with 20,000 people, 40,000 people. I'd be like, where you at? He'd be like, oh, I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Then he'd be like, where you been? I miss you. Call me.
Yeah.
You know? But again, it's the fact, like, time go by, because I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't heard from him in about, you know, I heard from him 2 years ago from the last All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it would be years.
Yeah.
So, but it's still the friendship.
Yeah.
So, again, that's how it... Whatever it is, like he was still a
person. Did you have to coach him? Like,
Nah. He was a person who was a Redman, Newark, Redman fan.
Uh huh.
And he knew how to rhyme. That rhyme with Biggie, that's him.
Yeah. Wow.
And he killed that record.
What's that? You Can't Stop the Rain.
You Can't Stop the Rain, yes.
My favorite shit is him and Mobb Deep, though. Incredible.
Oh, yo, why? See, I can't believe you.
Know what? Because it was the way.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, the way
nobody
they flipped, stopped looking, listen. I was like,
that.
Yo, that's the Diana
nobody
Ross.
Nobody agree with that. I love that record.
Yeah, that's the Diana Ross and Marvin Gaye version of Stop Looking, Listen, that Havoc flip.
Oh, okay.
That's,
right.
that version. Not the stylistic
version. Okay.
So that's why I loved it, because that shit was hard to catch.
So you went on the... How Havoc caught the sample.
I listened to every aspect of the record. Yeah.
You mentioned Havoc. Havoc's here too, you could say too. Havoc came here once, didn't want to leave. Came here the second time, really didn't want to leave.
Got you.
So Havoc is also down too. Matter of fact, we got an album coming out called Havoc, H-A-V-I-C-K.
Wow.
Havoc and Eric, 5 songs apiece.
What are you going to call this place overall?
I don't know. Yeah. If anybody want to come and work, they come.
Got you.
So whatever that is on sides, and hopefully that my friend next door is leaving, so I'll be able to walk.
All three of them. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Knock the walls down, right?
Just go. Well, we'll just have a door to go through all three of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You rocked with Shaq, but I'm pretty sure some artists that you turned down, that you kicked yourself in the ass later on, like, damn, I could have had such and such. Give us on your record.
You know, you heard all those stories. You know, I had everybody.
But I gotta segue into it. This is my journalism thing. You could have had Ross.
Yes, Ross was.
Was this Teflon at the time, or was it Rick Ross?
No, it was Teflon.
Okay,
and of course, you know, the boss of the whole thing was, you know, was Suave House.
Got you.
And when. He was I'm catching a blank. You cannot edit this. You're going to kill me.
No, it's good. You talking about Tony Draper?
Drape, do not have that pause in here, please.
Yeah. It's going to be there. But
Tony will kill me because I just went blank, Tone.
This is no filter.
I went blank.
Yeah.
I went blank.
But I held you down now. You're dealing with a hip hop historian, so I got you.
I went blank.
Yeah.
So Tony used to bring me to my crib.
Uh-huh.
Way before. Before Tony used to come to my crib and talk about different songs.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I did a song called Maria from Michael Jackson. Wayne ended up doing it. I don't know how Wayne got the record, but I did that on Rosé first.
Wow.
Teflon. But anyway, Ross was at my house for like a month. If you go on YouTube, you will hear Ross saying, yeah, I was with the big homie Eric first. I'm on his Eric Onassis album.
Wow.
You know, as Teflon.
As Teflon.
And when 50 Cent said too, yo, I know where you come from. You was with Eric, you know, you was Teflon, you know, but he was at my house for a month and we made maybe 7 records at the time. Because I was still doing Reggie, and Reggie was like, yo, who that guy there? I said, his name is Teflon. He said, yo, the homeboy sound good, you know, whatever. So then years later, he, you know, signed with Slip and Slide and became whatever. But the one that is ill that I don't have recollection is Biggie Smalls. Because when you hear Clark Kent's story and you hear my boy Bernard's story, they brought him to the barbershop. And I was at the barbershop. And I told Biggie, yo, you're dope. Let's try to do something. And that's the part I don't remember. But then when I did Hitting Switches that you talked about, Puffy and Hype Williams did the video.
Oh, okay.
But Biggie was on the set, and everywhere I went, he went. Then when I was doing my album, Biggie told Puffy to tell a girl named Tracy Waples, please get me on the Eric Sermon album. Please. So when they asked me, I said, I can't do that because I got Joe Sinister, you know, Jemez J. Garbage did that, somebody he had, Redman, Keith Murray. I had my own acts. So I wasn't going to, and I ain't no Biggie.
Yeah, like that. Because he was Biggie at this time. He wasn't even Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. So I couldn't, so I said no. Bang in the head, kill myself. Nas, he lived in Corum. So he was brought to the studio doing the Illmatic album.
So do you realize that you're about to tell the world that you turned down Nas?
Yeah, 91. Damn. And I turned him down. He was already signed, but I turned down the production part.
On Illmatic?
Bang, bang.
Damn.
So he comes and sits down. I give him C-list beats, doggy. Because don't forget, all my rappers is Wicked D Wow and when I SPLL, then I got Redman. I have these others. So that street content, I couldn't really get with that. I know it sounds crazy, though, man.
I'm in shock.
Yo, and so
did you hear anything off Illmatic, though? You didn't hear nothing?
No, I didn't hear the Illmatic. Okay. He was making Illmatic.
Got you.
When he left me, he went to Pete Rock.
And Pete Rock laced him. The world is yours.
I'm sitting here thinking, again, there's a kid that's from Queens that's just rhyming again, but I don't understand. So I got 3 records. Well, the studio burned down. I had 3 songs I did with him.
You
that
know
night.
Why the studio burned down, right? Because you ain't giving Nas a motherfucking records.
Yo, I can't believe it. Nas, I'll tell you a story, because me and Nas is tight, too.
Yeah.
I told Rock, Nas that Rakim story about EPMD. He wrote a record about it.
Oh, shit.
That's my story that I gave him.
So that's why Rakim was mad at Nas, too.
I know.
So,
I heard about
that. Yeah.
But he'd be mad at me because I gave Nas a story.
Okay.
But you want me? Okay, Wu-Tang Clan.
No, hold on. Before we get to Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Illmatic comes out.
Yeah.
And you hear this work of art, because at this time these are the super producers, the boom bappers. This is super producers. I didn't know Q-Tip got busy like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't know Q-Tip got busy like that. I heard One Love and I was like, what the fuck is that?
I know.
We know Premier get busy. We know Pete Rock get busy. We know Large Professor get busy. But we hear this collection of music and we're like, holy shit, did you say I just kicked myself in the ass? And I could have been a part of
it. I ain't going to lie to you. I didn't look at it at that time then. I was a star.
Gotcha. Yeah.
This is Business as Usual is out, and now we're getting ready to drop Crossover and Headbanging them, and I got Redman coming. Don't forget, that wasn't my style of rap.
Got you.
So even if it did come on with New York State of Mind, I'm like, I know this shit was dope.
Yeah.
I'm like, Primo the cop. But still not like beating myself in until all this classic stuff started coming out. 5 Mics and all this other shit. But it took a minute.
Yeah.
It wasn't like in the beginning because I was already doing me.
But when you start hearing beats and you hear Primo beating, you like, yo, that's NT. Holy shit. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but still, it wasn't like the I'm still young.
Got you. Got
I didn't
you.
Have it. Don't forget, they. I got a. I have four groups.
Yes.
In touring.
Yes.
So my mind wasn't able to be free like that.
And then
on
your remixes
other stuff.
And all that shit that you.
I was already consumed with what I had. I didn't even get a chance to even check out Illmatic at the time like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Wu-Tang.
It was afterwards.
So Wu-Tang was. You could have had Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang Clan. I got a picture with me on my IROC. In 1989, with all of them, when my boy had his church out there, his father was a church. Had a church in Staten Island, and he took me to that building, and it was all out there. Whatever building that they from, the projects.
If they're from two different projects, right. They're from Park Hill and Stapleton, but not Southside Center. It was 160.
Yeah, so I was there, and I was on Raekwon's steps. And he was Shala at the time.
Yeah, Shala Raekwon, yeah.
And he talked, and he wanted to sign with me. He'll tell you a story. Mm. He wanted to sign with me. I'm like, yo, I'm too young. I don't really have nothing like that, you know, to be able to sign. So we just took a picture.
Mm.
But at the time, they was like, yo, I think Eric Sermon came to the, you know, whatever. And I could have, but again, too young the time to know what to do with something like that. Too young.
So you... I want to get into
and
this.
Luda end game.
No, well, I'm all right. Let's talk about Luda real quick. Luda to me, and this is me speaking. Luda always sounded like Redman.
Yeah, he came.
So that's why I didn't think that would be. It would be a good fit for you. But then again, people would be like, "That's Redman." Like,
no, but that was my main thing too.
Yeah, he sounded too much like Redman.
My main thing was if you would have heard the demos, you would have really thought that.
Yeah.
Then again, him having the Afro look, it was a whole thing that he came with. But me and Luda became good friends. When Luda got signed, he called me and asked me where should he go to, Sylvia Roma, Def Jam, and I told him Def Jam. Don't forget, this is Georgia now, so you know
we're going to get into Georgia.
Okay, exactly.
The thing with Luda, you actually did do a record for him.
Yeah,
and that shit,
that line. Yeah,
and that shit sound like a Redman record to me.
It did.
It just sounded, I was like, but
that's why he wanted it.
Yeah, but that's a good, but that's not a bad thing, though.
No.
You know, because Redman is not somebody that sounded like him is ever going to be
and
a
I didn't understand why he wanted that empty beat. But now you're saying it clear, and now I see why.
Yeah. The Game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this was going to be like one of the biggest artists on the West Coast?
When did he
come to you?
I was in the mall in L.A., the Hood Mall, not the Beverly Center, but the one that was
Crenshaw
out.
Shit? Like it.
Not the Crenshaw, but the other big one.
Was it the Fox Hood?
The Fox Hood Mall.
Yeah. I know that from Boys in the Hood.
And Fox Hood Mall, and they had all the dope sneakers, and it was
a
dope urban store there. And my boy D-Mac had him, and again, the guy, Bernard is the one that did all these for me.
Got you.
When you hear Bernard, that's who brought all the stuff to me. So, in Game wrote it in the Vibe magazine. Eric Sermon tells me to spit 16, and I didn't know what he meant by that.
Because
Game knew how to rhyme, but he didn't have a format
no structure.
Of being that.
Yeah.
So, I had a rim shop at one time with Unique Auto Sports. We was over here in Holbrook.
Mm.
And Game came to Holbrook with the whole G-Unit.
Mm.
And he was like, yo, E, what's up? And I said, what's going on? He said, you know, you upset? I'm like, nah, I wasn't ready.
So then
he wrote that too. I was going to sign with Eric, but he wasn't ready.
Oh, if Game is one of them, anything you say, he like, oh, they go a line.
Well, don't forget, he wasn't the Game as he is now. Flamboyant, boisterous.
He wasn't
that at the time. You know. But again, he was you could tell, if I would have heard him, forget about it.
Yeah.
I would have automatically. I didn't even get a chance to hear him.
Because he was from the West Coast and his style was.
No, it would have been crazy. I would have saw it. I saw this.
Yeah.
I would have saw him, the how he looked, the whole visual. I would have known that I would have had that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But again, I didn't give a chance to even hear him, rhyming.
Atlanta, you were from Long Island, New York, and then you're in Atlanta.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck is Eric Sermon doing in Atlanta? Then I see you working with Dallas Austin.
Right.
I see you doing Illegal.
Oh, Dallas.
Yeah. Darp Studios.
Yes.
I remember that.
One of the best and biggest.
And then you're out there. What did you see in Atlanta? Because I want people to know. He probably not going to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Right.
When Atlanta blew up to me is when you moved there.
Right.
People probably not going to say it. I know the Olympics
Doggy,
was 96.
I swear to God, this is the... Is what you just said just now is sometimes you don't want to get No, nothing told.
Don't be humble.
But David Banner said too, Eric, okay, do not let somebody else talk about Atlanta, Georgia, and don't mention your name.
This nigga just walked past the screen. But go ahead.
Okay, we got to edit now.
No,
okay.
We ain't editing. We leaving all that shit. Okay. That's how real it is.
Yeah. But you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's your boy.
Yeah, that's your man.
That's your man.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, but nah, but David Banner said that too. Uh-huh. I just left the Killer Mike's series. I'll talk to you about that too.
Yeah.
After you hear me talking, uh-huh, you're doing my documentary.
Dope.
As far as the what do you call that thing?
Narration.
I'm blocking out right now.
Nah, listen, this is good shit. It's cool.
I am so intelligent, it's not even funny. Yo.
It's like 0 degrees out here.
But the narration will be done by you.
Okay.
But I was at Killer Mike's thing called Trigger Warning.
Yes.
Phenomenal series.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, this guy stands up and said, Eric, no lie, this is funny. He said, these people, these hoes, everything in here is because of you.
Mm.
And I'm like, we all sitting around and like, why is this guy so passionate? He was one of the boys from the Rim Shop. He's also in one of the Trigger series. He's Donald Goins' son.
Wow.
So inside one of the series, that's Cheese.
Got you.
He said, I don't give a fuck what anybody's saying here. Everybody in here, they owe you.
Mm.
So, but me being young, I don't know. I'm just hooking up with some guys from Detroit who I like. How I got to Georgia was I met this girl one time on the road.
Mm.
So when the group broke up, and when I got out of the precinct,
mm-hmm,
I said, Ma, I'm going to Georgia.
Mm.
You know, my grandmother there, my aunt was there.
I just didn't want to get
arrested sitting around here.
So they're
going to come get me. Come get me someplace else.
It used to be run down south back in the day.
I had the mentality. And my mother gave me the okay, so I went down south. So I already kind of met these people before. I met that guy before, too. Mm-hmm. The guy, Greg, who we hooked up doing the Rim Shop with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, the Rim Shop was the biggest talk in the world. There was no talk about no rims until I was giving it to Flex to bring back to it, to Source Magazine was taking pictures of Atlanta or taking pictures of the shop.
Because you was one of the first people with an outside business outside of hip-hop. It wasn't a studio.
Yeah, right.
It was a bit like Rims.
It was you.
Yeah.
I don't give. It'd be from Dave Justice down to Berry to Vivica to whomever. If you came to Georgia, the Rim Shop is where you was stopping by at. Now, during the Olympics came, I had Shaq down there, Chris Webber. You know how Jalen Rose is as far as the Fab Five. They were all EPMD fans. But they all came down. So people at the end was like, okay, I shot Stay Real there.
Yes.
Now, people did videos, but not downtown.
Yeah.
I brought the cameras downtown. So then the front page of the Constitution, which is the paper down there, says, Eric Sermon moves to Atlanta. And I'm like, yo, what's the big deal?
Yeah, yeah.
But to them, it was, because why did you chose to come here?
Gotcha.
Out of all the places. All of a sudden, Short was like, yo, damn, E, what's going on? I said, nah, just come, whatever. Short came. Mm-hmm. Short called Face and said, yo, what you and Eric doing down there? Face. Now, Pac used to be down there a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Pac used to be at the Rim Shop. But also in my Rim Shop was a dude with a ponytail.
And who was that?
And that was BMF.
Big Meech?
Meech.
Wow.
I didn't know that, but the boys who I went into business with was Detroit people.
Oh.
These are all, my boy Greg and them is all Detroit cats.
And Meech is from Detroit, yeah.
Not knowing that kid that I used to see all the time, when that kid, whatever, with the ponytail was Big Meech.
Wow.
But they said I was off limits. Cause I knew a homie named Patrick, which is Milo, which is one of the heads of them in Detroit.
Mm.
I'm not giving out no business that people won't know though, but
yeah.
I hope 50 watching this too. My boy Milo Patrick had braces back then. He was ahead of them, but was my friend.
Mm.
So I was off limits to the situation that was going on. And that was from the homies in Detroit. Yo, don't involve Eric Sermon in nothing.
Mm.
You know, so thankfully, that's why I never knew them.
So Atlanta right now is one of the homes of hip-hop. Like, a lot of shit coming out of
it. No, it is.
Yeah, it's like the capital. They took it from New York.
Outkast's favorite group was Das Effex. They made that perfectly clear.
Wow.
Remember that Robin said, my favorite group ain't coming with it, but anyway, They were talking about Dos Effects. That was they. So when you hear Big Boy go, you would hear it and still his rhyme still.
The cadence,
Their favorite number one group was Dos Effects.
Now Atlanta is what it is.
Right.
But when they say Atlanta, they never say you.
Never.
Is it because you're really a native New Yorker, you think? You're not home.
I just maybe too, but they used to be like too when the radio when the song comes on, Atlanta's own, Eric Sermon.
Wow.
But if you ask everybody that there, like Jack Thriller, he made a big stink too on his show. Like, Eric, I don't care. I let everybody know. You were Atlanta. You know, when it came down to me doing the radio stations or me letting Alex, the biggest promoter in the world, use my face and name to put on his flyers. When it came down to the Platinum House, the club that my boy Vance and them had, whatever like that. For me having the Freaknik, they put the Freaknik around the rim shop.
Wow.
The mayor gave me the key to the city. I ain't take it at the time. His name was Bill. I ain't take it. At the time, I was next to Hosea Williams, who marched with Martin Luther King. I used to feed the homeless with him. He used to be next to my shop. But everything that city had, I did. I put rims on their cars. I put rims on all the station cars.
You put babies in that town.
There you go. I only had one kid.
All right.
But as far as Georgia and L.A. Reid,
uh-huh.
we used to ask questions. You know, who was that guy? And you know, let me sit with him. Make all that noise in my city.
Yeah.
You know, but I would just... Me doing me.
In a record, I love the record too. Damn, it's just you walking.
Relentless.
Relentless. You said I sat down with you was naming all the the record label heads. Have you ever been denied?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, because we would say, well, how the fuck could you deny Eric Sermon? His track record is what it is.
Yeah.
What is it like to be denied by somebody?
I think that time had went by in 2004. It had changed. Georgia was Lil Jon, the Crunk, everybody. It changed.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't mad.
Yeah.
You know, but Kadar Masterberg gave me the shot.
Gotcha.
You know, in 2004. And but again, my whole situation from us, of all my groups, have been turned down. Like Redman got turned down twice by Def Jam.
Wow.
Q-Tip was the one that said to Big D and told Leo Cohen, yo, that kid Eric got Redman, he's nice. So that was the turnaround for Redman signing to Def Jam was Q-Tip.
Mm. How hard was it for Keith, though?
Keith Murray got turned down by Def Jam, too.
So that's how he ended up on
Jive. Then ended up signing to Def Jam.
Later on.
But Russell Simmons didn't know that I took him to Jive. Russell Simmons was pissed when Keith Murray, because Russell said, you think I shot the hostile video for you to take him somewhere, which makes sense.
Yeah, but
Leo didn't like Keith Murray.
Dos Effects actually got booed the first time that they did a show, right?
Well, they got booed, but I was not that one.
Okay.
I was at the one where we ended up going to a contest in Virginia. One thing about my rappers too, they all college kids. Redman went to Montclair, Jersey. Keith Murray went to Suffolk and New York Tech. Dos Effects went to Virginia State.
Mm-hmm.
These are all college kids. And Paris went to Southern Connecticut. It's kind of ill how
what about Solo?
College. Nah.
Solo went to jail, right? He's a fugitive.
Yeah, I'm saying. But I never realized that somebody told me that, all your boys went to college? What I was talking about?
Yeah, we talking about Dos Effects being booed.
Yeah, but they wasn't. But we knew it was going to, we let somebody else win that night.
Gotcha.
Because we knew we were going to sign Dos Effects. But,
Yeah. So, I just want to tell you, when EPMD broke up, that shit crushed me, man. I could not believe that y'all wasn't going to make music together again. I was like, what I'm going to do now? I mean, we had Tribe. We had all these new groups. We had Gangsta. We had all these things. But I was like, I need that EPMD album.
It was a long split too. 5 years is a long time.
And then y'all had success as soloists. I didn't like the way it split. It was like, nah, that ain't the Hit Squad because they ain't there. Yeah. And then y'all had Def Squad, and I was like, come on, man. Then y'all was the Squadron. I was like, come on.
Well, the squad again, that was a word at the time. The Death Squad was. It was immediately being built, and I just knew that me having Keith Murray and Redman, I was never going to lose.
Got you.
At the time. Again, you know how, like, every other situation that you write, like I said, for Run DMC can't be in the same room, you know, all the you know, the groups of Slick, Dougie, Naughty. Everybody had DOS. Everybody is having problems. You know, this what happens in groups.
Yes.
And it's usually financial.
Gotcha.
And that before it got really, really out of hand, I think the best thing happened, because I think that I still would have been the producer under the Hit Squad.
Wow.
I would have never did what I did.
Mm.
You know, that's the part that it's a bittersweet for maybe the fans, but for me, it gave me a life.
Got you.
Because I would have still been under a situation as a producer with EPMD.
Got you.
And not being able to do what I did as a soloist.
Yeah, because I think at that, yo, it's a time you was on the radio. We Get Busy. That's a song that's where y'all was just shouting people out. You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Where the fuck is that at? It's not a record.
No, LL Cool J, that's, and Ice Cube is one of their favorite beats.
Yeah, where is that shit?
It was on the B side of something.
Wow.
I don't know. That boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, We Get Busy.
I know.
That's
no
why
rhyme.
LL said that in the song, We Get Busy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, he said that. I heard it one day on the radio.
Yeah,
I
that
think
was
it might
dope.
Have been like on BLS or one of them, because you remember BLS and Kiss used to battle back in the days.
It's crazy because the Lindrum, again, we was fucking with that Lindrum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you a customer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a you a customer Lindrum type beat. So that's why, again, we was like, it was something that we made during the time of customer making that. And I don't know why we didn't rhyme on it. I don't know why.
Do you realize that you a customer drums is probably like, well, I know the checks.
Oh,
you
made
like
mad
checks.
Money off of that.
Because like, when I was in the studio, I seen a plaque for Jodeci.
Yeah.
And I said, what the fuck he produced for Jodeci? Then I look, I said, come and talk to me. It's his drums.
Yeah, but that Mario Winans.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Oh, my God.
Gangstar, Mass Appeal.
Mass Appeal. I told Gangstar. He said, how you know? I said, come on, that Lindrum, you got to know. But it's a lot, though. I even found out just in the Lauryn Hill record, that's you a customer. And she playing you a customer.
Wow.
And that.
He going blank again, y'all.
The Sweetest Thing.
Word?
Because it goes into, and I can't, it go into it, but it's the drums too.
That's what I'm
sweetest
saying.
Thing, the drums too.
You a customer, the thing about you a customer, people use the drums and the bass lines, and then separate.
Smile for Tupac and Scarface's customer.
Wow.
My boy had, we all wrote all this down one time. Outkast used customer to some thing called something by the joint. I forgot whatever. The whole shit. And then you had KG's girls, the R&B girls.
The Rain.
No, the R&B girls that he had.
It was called The Rain.
It wasn't The Rain.
No. Yummy was in that group.
No, not that group.
Oh, okay.
The first, Jhené.
Jhené, got you.
The second single was customer.
Wow. Yeah, Sending My Love to You.
Yeah, Sending My Love to You. Yeah. It was crazy. All of it.
Damn.
And then Puffy just kept coming at it.
Yeah, yeah. Puffy. Yeah. He pays you well.
Yeah, kept coming.
Let's talk about production. The funk. The whole Parliament. No, we good. The whole Parliament, the whole funk thing. Many other producers get credit. Even the Zap and Rogers shit, a lot of people get credit. But I always, the shit is you guys to chill.
Right.
Like, it, out the gate, y'all had Zap and Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But when people think of Roger Troutman, they might think of Dr. Dre.
Right.
They might say Teddy Riley.
Teddy Riley.
They might say Devontae.
Right.
Battle Cat, which is one of my favorite producers. Shout out to Battle Cat. That's like one of my favorite producers. But you was on that. Before
Battle
everybody.
Battle Cat's my friend too.
Battle Cat is incredible.
He produced something on Vernier too for me.
Oh, mm-hmm. See? Look at that. Mm-hmm. Do it bother you a little bit when people get more credit for funk than you do?
Nah, it don't, that part, it doesn't bother me. It's just the fact that who they giving the, when they leave the name out.
Got you.
We can all be a part, but don't leave me out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Don't say, you're the founder.
That's the part too, that like, don't leave me out of when you talk about it, mm-hmm. You know, as far as, you know, I don't, the credit is good for we can all have it, but then you leave me out, then I just think that, you know, there's something wrong with that, you know.
Production, the damn machines change so much.
Right.
What's your weapon of choice today?
Well, I still use Pro Tools as my, like everybody, to record in.
Uh-huh.
But I'm learning Logic from Ty.
Okay.
I'm learning Reasons from Rockwilder.
Okay.
But I still use a motherboard, which is the motif to play. Because I don't like the MIDI nutting up.
Got you.
So I still use the motif as my motherboard. And those people might use a small one. I use the 88 keys one because I get the feel of a piano.
Yeah.
But to use that with Pro Tools.
You know, it was the Bomba Z by Keith Murray. That shit was so clever because you had Grapevine in there. And I was like, yo, he used a little piece of Zapp and Roger where he just... No, it's a small piece.
I use a little bit of Grab and Roger in
lot. But I'm just saying.
Even the Redman stuff, Dos Effects too, like little, because again, it go a long way.
Blow Your Mind is Blow Your Mind. It go is a long,
but you're right. If you ever the Beastie Boys sample Roger in the didn't know that in the beginning in Hey Ladies.
Wow.
And then they knew about Roger. Like if you go to the end of it, it comes in
crossover.
That baby in Beastie Boys. Yeah,
crossover. When I heard that, y'all was predicting the future. And now it's good to be crossover. It's good to be pop. It's not a diss. It's not a bad thing. Did y'all foresee that happening with hip-hop? I don't know what that noise is, but that shit is...
That noise, got to keep that. That's the fifth time that's doing that.
Yeah. When you... Now, I lost my thought now. I'm trying to get this shit together. When... what the fuck was we talking about? What was I saying? Crossover. We gonna edit this. Crossover. When you did that, how important was that record for y'all? Did you know that this was gonna be predicting the future?
Nah, I just know, like I gave you a story behind closed doors. We was gonna drop something else off the fourth album.
Uh-huh.
And Russell was like, if y'all drop that, you're gonna ruin your career.
Mm.
So the last beats I made was a crossover beat.
Wow.
And I went to the studio at Dave Rock and Reels, made the beat, and don't know where the subject matter came from, but that was the last beat I made as far as me having the cassette of the Roger with the World. He was on the blue corner cover with him with the World on his lap. And I remember buying it in L.A.
Mm.
And I went to the studio with it, and I heard that part when it came up to the part, whatever, and made the beat. And we don't even know where the subject. Maybe I started the subject matter because I come on first.
Yeah.
But again, the game was changing
because
it did have Vanilla Ice coming to the game, doing 9 million records. You know, people started coming and started putting the name on stuff like that was selling so much. You know, like, that ain't what hip-hop is, whatever. To us, that's some other type of music. So then we put the Kid Capri name in there.
Yes.
So him in New York letting people know about the song, because the song blew up in California first at San Francisco.
Mm.
And it was huge on KMEL. Then it came back towards this way.
Wow. When I first heard it, I was like, what the fuck? But I was a fan, right, though.
But so that was our... That was EPMD's biggest record.
Wow.
As far as a single selling gold and then the album doing what it did, that was our biggest record to date. Maybe because, again, like you said, it was probably dope to people, but we knew that Dos Effects had went platinum. So we had grabbed some of their fans, too, that didn't know us, that knew Dos. And like, okay.
They had crossover fans,
because
too.
They went platinum.
Yeah.
They was on MTV all the time. So, these guys are who signed Dos Effects. So we don't even know is the condition of having a dope record or either having some of Dos's fans come over.
Headbanger. What was that studio session like?
That was the last thing we recorded. And for some reason it was right in the middle of it was tension too, because that's when the thing with Parrish had happened.
Okay.
That people said the robbery, the whole nine. So
it
was tension that day in that studio.
Mm.
But that was something fun that was happening for the moment. And we all just happened to be in there. And we had, like, the Temptations, five mics out,
uh-huh.
Four mics out. across the board, and we did it like that. We didn't record separate. We recorded like this. So you heard, if you heard the acapella, you can hear all the leaking.
Got you.
We was on one mic yelling. Each mic yelling without taking turns. We just rocked.
No takes. Everybody just one taked it, or
y'all a did? Couple of takes though. Okay. But still, we did the one thing.
So when Redman kicks that verse, did you say, "Holy shit"?
Nah, that was normal for him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Of course. But when I first heard it, when I first heard Redman, I think it was
Hardcore.
Was it Brothers on My Jock first though, or Hardcore?
Brothers on My Jock, they're both on the same album.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Hardcore was crazy, but Brothers on My Jock that didn't really sound like what he was gonna be. It was a dope rhyme.
Yeah, because he was real low.
Yeah. But zip my low. I was low, like, who the fuck low. Drink low and brown? I was like, what the fuck he talking about?
Brown,
yeah, like
his eyes, yeah.
But when I heard Hardcore, I was like, okay, this dude got style. Then they shot the little snippet
with him and Gloria.
Yep, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, nah, this dude is dope. And then it was this whole look. Redman's second album, I've always gone record. I did not like that album.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like it.
You just...
His underground fans love it.
Yeah, no, it's a cult classic almost.
But again, like Biggie Smalls and his peers did not like it.
I felt like, can't wait. Saved it.
I did it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, he did two records. Yeah. That was one of them.
Yeah.
Don't forget, they kind of alienated me. I didn't know that. Oh, you didn't see I ain't do no production?
Yeah, but how does the producer don't do no production? I don't understand that. Who alienated you? Was the record label or was it?
Nah, it was just, again, I think at the time, Red learned how to use the MP.
Okay.
And Rockwell tells the story well.
Yeah. Muddy Waters made up for all that shit though.
Yeah, but that's me.
Yeah.
But don't forget, people don't look at the part and ask why. If you look at the situation, you'll see that I'm not on the album of The Dark Side. So as far as production, so nobody even asked that question to be like, yo, what happened? Why didn't
you? Yeah, I know that's why I didn't like it. Because I needed your sound.
Right.
Your sound was needed in hip hop at the time, especially for Redman.
Right.
You carved the sound.
Yeah. Rock, you know, told him. Rock had talks with him because Rock, that's when he first, when Rock had just met Redman then.
Uh huh.
So that's because Reggie signed Rock Wilder.
Got you.
95 type of situation. But again, Rock used to say, yo, where's the Eric records you had?
Mm.
You know? And that was the end. But Can't Wait happened to be the one I did, you know?
Yeah. Milky with
oh my God.
I love that
Stretch
shit.
Armstrong just called me shit. 3 months ago for a project he was doing, asking me, is there a clean version? I'm like, no. That crusty cassette version that you hearing on the Sunset, that's all everybody has. I didn't know it was that big with Premier and them. I had no idea that record was such a problem for the underground at the time. Like, yo, I mean, it was a demo.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I even got free.
Yeah, I love that. Your favorite drum break is what? Could I tell you what I think it is?
What? Humpty? I use it in Time for Some Action, Crossover.
Skull Snaps.
Skull Snaps, yeah. But that's, I use it in Doctor Effects 4 times.
Yeah, I'm about to say that.
I use it on Red Milky. Man. Redman.
Yeah,
Milky.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitting Switches.
Hitting Switches. Yeah.
You're right.
You like the Skull Snap.
You're right.
You like the Skull Snap. The Payback, you was the first person to use the sample. James Brown.
Was I? That was also Lindrum.
Wow.
That's what makes that record so ill is the Lindrum. The Your Customer Lindrums is under no breakbeat drums, no nothing. Just the break of the Big Payback and Lindrums making that record sound like that. I can't believe it. We just had this convo you giving me,
mm-hmm.
We just had this convo a week ago.
Wow.
About Big Payback, about the Lindrum.
Why did y'all go through so many DJs?
Oh, man.
Shit got depressing. He said, oh, man.
When I hear the stories, it all leads up to something small and petty.
Mm.
You know? That got nothing to do with me. So I'm
got
saying.
Got you. Because I love EPMD. I love Caleb Boss.
Yeah, Caleb Boss.
4 or 5 now. Yeah.
And Diamond is with us now.
Okay.
But Diamond was the first one on It's My Thing and You're a Customer.
Yes.
He was the one. He's the only one.
But I'm so used to
scratch
right. adding to the chorus.
No, he made it.
Yeah.
He made it. I mean, because, we don't make records no more, but yeah that was, he was a band member.
Actual,
to have a scratch be so important to a record was unheard of.
He's doing the scratches on Real Solo Stand Up too, right? With a real solo, it's SWAT.
Is it?
That's definitely hit me. It might be.
I wouldn't know because I just spellbound.
Gotcha.
So once the single was done,
you was off.
That was it for me.
Okay.
But as far as when people talk about the scratching on What You Saying or Rampage or Payback, whatever.
Is retarded.
So he was able to
the people.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you know,
he was able to make, even though it's just pulling it back, right?
Yeah, but it's still, who thought to do
right.
that?
He was able to make a second instrument with scratching on those records, which is way important. Gold Digger, they all important to a DJ to be able to make that much impact in a song. Nobody didn't use scratches as a chorus,
and even your show, he was able to extend the show.
But he come from that world.
But I mean, even y'all could take a break and let him do his 1-2 thing. I miss that though. You know what I'm saying? So whatever it is, I hope y'all could just at least do shit to just.
Oh no, Diamond's still effective.
No. But
he's at the show, they don't miss homie. Trust me, he just is good. But again, I understand how from a fan perspective, but at the end of the day, you got to do what makes you happy and what makes everything run smooth without the other.
Yeah.
And again, and again, EPMD. We're too old.
You know what it is? It was that EPMD and scratch and that.
And we did that for a lot of years.
Yeah.
We rocked for a lot of years.
At one point, you told me on an unreleased interview that you used to have to take the tape and put it all around the room to make a beat.
Yeah, because we didn't have sampling machines or something that, you know, back then you didn't have that we knew about. See, that S950 and people that we knew about sampling things, we had no idea. We only used what we had in the studio.
Mm.
And we only had $30 an hour. And, you know, you had to make something happen. Don't forget, me and Paz only rocked on one mic, though, too, like this. We didn't
didn't go in the booth? Separately?
Every record, yeah. No. Every record was move over. Like this. Every record, and it sound like that.
You know what make me mad, too? A lot of people always say groups who do the best back and forth. They always name people. I'm like, what about EPMD?
That's another thing, too.
They'll say Styles and Jada.
I know.
They'll say Smith and Wesson, which I love. I'm like, EPMD.
We got it for Run DMC, but then when it came to us, we mastered it, and they leave our name right out of it.
Even Fashion.
Oh, no, that's not. I got it in a new rhyme. I said that. Timberland boot, that bucket hat, that's me. That hoodie, that's me. And I said, all that, we came in the game with them Benzes, and we had matching chains with them. Like, no matter what, everything that you see, that Cuban link, that whatever, like, all that is me and Parrish. You're saying the dopest shit ever. Because, again, my documentary, 88 Fresh, is about that.
Dope.
It's about, again, the year of 88, but I want to give
y'all the jean suits with the bucket hat.
Our jean suits, all of them was made by Carl Kanai.
Wow.
Every last one of them, if it wasn't for Carl Kanai, was walker wear. But after we did it, then everybody was walker wear, everybody was Carl. But Carl made me my first jean suit, which was a shirt with a flower print on the bottom here and the bottom there. I had it when I met him in Cali. I knew a girl who knew him in California.
Mm.
But after that, EPMD didn't have nothing that was in the stores. Our suits were made by him.
Well, who idea was it for y'all to always dress alike?
Me.
Okay.
All the clothes was always, because it come from Run DMC.
Yeah.
I figured that, even now, I feel that, you know, I know it's cool, fans, it's cool to see Doggy, you know, hey, they go. But when you come into a performance, it should be some type of
showmanship. Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't just, you know, especially if you're a group, then look like a group.
Yeah.
And then go to the room, put your clothes back on, and go home.
Yeah,
they're just showing up.
Because you got performing clothes and you got the clothes all the time.
You want to look like the same. Even if you say, okay, no, I don't care, but we're all black. Okay, we all wearing blue jeans today, or we're in sweatsuits today, whatever. Just make it look like something. I think that the audience deserved that. You know, so that's why when Eric B and Rakim got back together for that little moment, all the wardrobe was Eric B. You know, Eric B don't play Gucci everything.
Yeah.
Rakim was fly even though he fly even then because he's a soloist, so he can wear that by himself. But when he was with Eric B, him and the DJ coordinate.
You got to coordinate. I want to, before we go, I want to ask you some of your favorites, because I think people need to know. Who is Eric Sermon's favorite rapper ever?
Rakim is the number one rapper. Favorite, the mentor, the reason why I do what I do, besides Run DMC, is R. He was before his time, his cadence, his vocabulary, his conversation, the concept, everything that he was able to do on that microphone was before his time. And there's no coincidence why everybody mentioned his name. Women, old, young, people who just hear him, I'd be like, yo, they mentioned his name and say what's up, because again, you still had the best. That whole era, Coogee Rap, Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, you know, Chuck D, you still had this situation of rappers that was just incredible. What we did was unreal. Even with Special Ed, how he was able to come with his, are magnificent. And the I Got It Made story concept.
Yeah.
Like, yo, this stuff was unreal at the time, man. You know, you had NW.
Why is Slick Rick underrated?
Slick Rick is one of the best. He's my second.
Do you know they had a meme saying who's the greatest storyteller in his group and Slick Rick wasn't in it?
Nah. You got to give it to him. Why do you think Outkast came and got him when they did storytelling?
Yeah, all the storytelling.
They 10 million records. They still recognizing that, yo, when it comes to this, it's Slick Rick. Why do you think Nas... You know, if you ever look at Nas, he looked like Slick Rick.
I Can is B. Boys and girls, listen up. That's fucking Slick Rick.
No, but he looked like
him. Yeah, with the jewelry.
The part, the jewelry, everywhere he says Slick Rick.
Yeah, he says
he
Slick
does
Rick.
It. His demeanor is Rick.
Yeah.
The laid-back quietness, the flyness, all of it is Rick.
Who's your favorite producer besides yourself? Surprise us.
Wow.
You can't say Rockwilder or Ty Fife.
No. Right. Dang, man. It's probably Teddy Riley. I think because of the fact of the 1-2 of the funk, being able to know what the vocal is. Him having Atomic Dog and Teddy's Jam 2.
Yeah.
I played that like a rap record. I'm like, yo, this man. But even when I first heard Groove Me, people would tell you, like, yo, I'm like, who is that man? And then I saw him what's the roller skate ring in Jersey?
I don't know.
Exit 4 back then.
Yeah, I never. Okay.
He said, yo, who EQs what you're saying? I'm like, Doc Rodriguez. He was like, nothing in life sounds like that. No, every
EQ. Do you realize that was the loudest record ever?
Every EQ in my life, no beat sound like my. Listen, in my head, I'm saying, yo, damn, Jazzy B did a good job.
I'm thinking,
I got it from, because it was already heavy like that.
Yeah.
But again, I would have to say that. And I also got to say, I forgot the guy, God bless the dead, who was with Jam Master Jay, who did Slick Rick. You know, again, at the way he was able to do it with not having a whole sample, but using a beat machine to make Children's Story and to make Mona Lisa, like, or make Lick the Balls. Like, like, I don't know if you listen to a original Slick Rick and know that it's not samples. There's cut samples.
Oh, word?
But the production is done by beat machine.
Wow. My favorite record on there is The Moment I Fear. I fucking
love
that.
But again, It's still a beat machine.
You know why? Because I keep looking for that shit, and that's why I guess I can't find it.
You can't find that. That's a mode of all them records that was done by beat machine, and the chin is a sample from a scratch.
But the
whole thing of, hey, young world, this is all beat machine.
I think the only thing it's a sample is Mona Lisa.
But what I'm saying, it's a scratch sample.
Yeah.
It's not the loop for the song. No, they had to cut it.
Yeah, it's no loop.
But the actual beat of it is a drum machine. So again, then you gotta put in again Daz, like, oh my God, if you knew everything that Daz did, you'd be like, yo, it's damn, so what did big homie end up doing if Daz did all that?
Yeah.
Daz took Pee Wee Herman and made Tupac, man. I'm just a rider. Doom, 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 doom.
That's Pee Wee Herman?
Pee Wee Herman, brand new dance called the Pee Wee Herman. It's Pee Wee Herman.
Holy shit. Now that you say that.
Exactly. That's enough now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, your favorite singer, male.
Oh my God. Gotta be. You can't do that because Marvin Gaye's the best one to ever do it in the history.
Yeah, because he did music. No, but
Gaye. You got it. Well, it doesn't matter who it is.
When you was in the video and you start singing Earth, Wind, and Fire, what the fuck you do that for?
Oh, I'm a man.
The reasons.
Yeah, yeah. But Dave Hollister.
Okay.
One of the illest to ever do it in the '90s, and people knew it, but there's. That time of Marvin, Teddy Pendergrass, Al Green, Stevie Wonder, like, we would never see. Even though I'm a big fan of Chris Brown, big fan of Trey Songz, big fan of Daniel Caesar, but them people back then, nobody.
You're different.
They different.
Even, man. Bobby Womack.
Oh, don't. Why are you saying? Why are you doing Bobby that? You
Womack.
Go to Bobby Womack and then go to Bill Withers then and
facts
go to something. You got to
be. Yeah.
No matter what.
Favorite female singer?
Shit. Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige is a favorite female singer, but then Faith Evans too. I used to pump
Faith
Evans.
Crazy,
just
to, man.
No, when it come on, no other. The first song from the tape, from front to back, you know, you have to look at that. Because then you got to go back here. I don't know who I was pumping, because Evelyn Champagne King and them just, and Tina Marie would just have records though, but as far as full shit, Mary J. Blige, what you gonna say about that?
Yeah. If you had to make the perfect record and you the producer.
Oh man.
You need a rapper.
Ooh.
And you need somebody to sing the chorus, living or dead. Give me the other rapper on the record besides yourself and a person singing it, male or female, living or dead.
Sing it right now, make a record right now?
Right now. Living or
if
dead.
I want to make a record with the person?
Eric Sermon is producing the beat. Rhyming on the record, you need another rapper, dead or alive, old or young, and you need a singer, male or female, to sing the chorus.
I'm going to go with Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with J. Blige.
Wow.
That's something that, again, at the end of the day, that I never was able to do, knowing that when Biggie, it was that magazine back then?
Pages?
Yeah, Rap Pages.
Yeah.
1997, his last interview, they asked him a question. So who do you like out here inside this rap game? He says, I like Eric Sermon. I like how he move.
Mm. Before we go, speaking of Biggie and Bad Boy, did you ever hear that may sound like you?
Yeah, he told my daughter.
Holy shit.
My daughter saw him 2 years ago,
uh-huh.
And he says, tell your dad that I was told to sound more like him. I never told the story to nobody else, but I'm telling you.
Wow.
If I call my daughter right now, she'll tell you. You want me to do it on Doggy?
Yeah, do that shit. Do that shit. Wow. Mace sound a lot like, but the slow flow?
He was told to do more.
To rhyme slower? Like Eric Sermon?
Like Eric.
Wow. Exclusive, Doggy Diamonds TV.
This is my daughter, Dallas. She picks up because she might be in class. Oh, my God, she's a college student. Come on, D.
She going to answer in 1, 2, 3. It ain't happen. She's in class.
Come on, D. This is cool, which way she said, because she don't know.
Yeah.
She had no idea.
Your call has been forwarded.
I'm gonna tell the call me. Okay.
Yeah. So I heard that before. Hakeem Green from Channel Live told me that before. Hakeem said, "Yo, Mace ain't nothing but Eric Sermon," and I didn't hear it at first. I was like, "Why you say?" Then I listened. I said, "There's no God sticker than this young fly, Mister." And I was like, "Yo, that is."
It was put. See, me slurring was a situation, was something. So it was cool for. Did she call back?
Okay.
AD.
Yeah.
When you saw Mace that time, what did Mace tell you?
I don't know.
Does
he love you?
No. What did he tell you about me?
You're a legend.
Oh, Dallas, you're killing me right now.
Cut. No.
I know, but when you said as far as sound like me,
he wouldn't be him if it wasn't for you.
Oh my God! You know what? I got to cut now because 3 years ago you told me that he said, "Yo, I was told to sound like your dad."
I was told I sound like your dad.
As far as how he sound like me, as far as rhyming, as far as his tone. Cause him sound like me.
Are you like recording something?
Oh my God!
That's how real it is.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm like seriously. Out of all the times, 3 years ago, so I said, "I know that's it for her smoking weed." Now is crazy, man. She remember anything else but that. And I wouldn't call if I would think she wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't never do that. Wait till I tell her. When I see her later.
Yeah.
Are you recording or something like that?
Yeah. So, Vernia is dropping. You got a date?
I don't know exactly what the date is because I know it's going to be early. So, what's that first week, whatever it might be? I don't know. Because, again, we don't have to worry about
like, release dates and all that. But no, every day is a release date now.
First week of March. Yeah. And when is this coming?
After the CBS thing was in like another 2 weeks. Definitely another 2 weeks. Okay. But I want to come back. We got to do a part two. Because we actually got to go to a funeral after this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so you're going to do the walkthrough with me?
I'm not going to be able to do that today.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So you're going to come back and within when? The next week or two?
Yeah. Whenever. Yeah. Whenever.
Okay. And then because we'll be able to do that around the time. Yeah. Open up. Yeah. The food is here for Doggy and his crew because he was so telling me I didn't feed him.
Yeah, so this is what we going to do. Yo, this is Doggy Diamonds. We about to rap. We had the legendary Eric Sermon here. The food came. They got pizza. They got all types of stuff. We not eating all that. I don't eat pizza. I'm going to eat the salad. And that's what it is. Just sign us out real quick.
Okay, yo. Yeah, this is Eric Sermon and Doggy D. We're going to be back.
Got to do a part two.
A part two.
Walk.
We're going to walk through the facility of this place and next door to where Rockwell and Ty Fife be at too, of the other side of Death Squad. It was called Death Squad Studios.
For now.
Yeah. That was going to be cool because people called that already. Death Squad Studios.
Gotcha.
Okay, peace, y'all. Part two later soon.
We out of here. Doggy Diamonds, no filter.
All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds, No Filter podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Doggy Diamonds did this.